Masechet Megillah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Zayin. The topic of this Mishnah is going to talk about somebody who becomes a Zav. Specifically, it's going to talk about a man who becomes a Zav. A Zav is a person who becomes Tameh. He becomes impure because he has a liquid come out of his body. If it happened to him one time where liquid came out of his body, he would have to go to a mikveh, and then he would become automatically Tahor once the nighttime hits. If liquid came out of his body two times, his tum'ah status would be a higher level, and then he would need to wait 7 clean days where he doesn't have any liquid come out of his body, and then on that last day, he would immerse in spring water and become pure once nighttime hits. Somebody who has 3 times the liquid come out of his body would be the same as somebody who had it twice. There's no difference between the two of them besides for what this Mishnah is going to point out. En ben zav haro'eh sheteriyot lero'eh shalosh ela korban. There's no difference between a zav who has liquid come out of his body 2 times or somebody who has 3 times ela korban. The only difference they have is the korban. Somebody who has liquid come out of his body 3 times has to bring a korban after the 7 days that he becomes purified. A person who only has 2 times liquid come out of his body would not have to bring that korban. Once these people become pure, then they could partake, they could eat of the kodashim, the sacrifices that are brought in the Beit HaMikdash. We'll not talk about the metzorah. Metzorah is somebody who has sara'at. He has a skin affliction, a skin disease that comes about through the Torah tells us, speaking lashon hara. If somebody has this disease, it's an av hatum'ah, it's a high level of impurity, and they're not allowed to be in any walled city in Israel. Somebody who starts to see that they have something on their skin, what they would do is they go to a kohen, and the kohen would examine them. He would look at their skin, and he would see what type of color is going on. And if he sees that they're a definite person with sara'at, he declares him somebody who's a metzora mukhlat. He definitely has sara'at. But if it's unclear, if the Kohen can't tell if this person has sara'at or not, he would put this person in a isolated room. This person's called a metzora musgar, a locked away or confined metzora. He stays in that room for 7 days. After that 7-day period, the Kohen comes back and he checks him once more to see if the symptoms got worse. If he does see that they got worse, he confirms this person as a metzora mukhlat. But even when a person who has suspected sara'at is put away in a room and we're unsure if he really has it, we say the laws are very much the same between him and the metzora mukhlat, the person who definitely has sara'at. But there are going to be exceptions to that rule where we treat these two types of people differently. En ben metzora musgar limsora mukhlat. There's no difference between a confirmed metzora and a confined metzora. Ela piria uprima, except for letting his hair grow and tearing his clothes. A person who is a confirmed, definite metzora has to allow his hair to grow and he has to tear his clothes. But a person who is a metzora who's only locked away does not need to do that. And that is the halacha. Somebody who's a confirmed metzora, definite metzora, has to rip his clothing and he has to also leave his hair uncut. That is the halacha. That's the difference between the two of them. Now we'll talk about a person with metzora who was eventually cleared of his sara'at after he was confirmed or after a period he was locked away and we've cleared him. There's no difference between somebody who had sara'at and then was declared clean after he was confined away, after he was locked away, or somebody who was cleaned after he had a confirmed state of sara'at, but then it became undone. Ela tiglahat v'siporim. The only difference between the two is shaving of the hair and the need to bring the korbanot of birds. Somebody who is a confirmed metzora, who eventually became clean, he became purified from his sara'at, has to shave all the hair off his body and then go through a ceremony with 2 birds. But somebody who became clean after a period of being locked away and put in a room, and then eventually came out that he never had Sara'at, does not need to go through both of these ceremonies. So he does not have to shave all the hair off of his head, and he does not have to go through the ceremony of dealing with two birds. Masechet Megillah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Het. Mishnah says, En ben sfarim letfilin u'mezuzot, אלא שהספרים נכתבים בכל לשון, ותפילין ומזוזות אינן נכתבות אלא אשורית. There's no difference between ספרים, which is ספרי תנ"ך, תורה, נביאים וכתובים, and תפילין and מזוזות, both of them, the Bar Tenura fills in, tells us they have to be tied בגידים with the veins of the animal, and also they become impure, they impurify the hands, they're both equal in that regard, but Sefarim, Sifrei Tanakh, can be written in any language. They're allowed to be written in any language that includes script, the alphabet, any language of any nation. Doesn't have to be specifically in Hebrew, but Tefillin and Mezuzot have to be only written in Hebrew, and the language that they have to be written in is Hebrew. The Gemara learns out Tefillin and Mezuzot from V'hayu HaDevarim Ha'ele, that we say, B'havyatam Yehiyu, in their... In their original state, they have to be, which is written in Hebrew. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, af basefarim lo hitiru sheikatevu ela yevanit. So Rashbag, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, argues on Tanakama, and he says that sefarim, sifrei Tanakh, Torah nevi'im kituvim, can only be written in Yevanit. All the other languages are not allowed. Obviously, Hebrew is allowed, but all the other languages, besides Greek, all the other languages are not allowed. You cannot write Sifrei Tanakh in those languages. There's a fantastic, in my opinion, a life-changing ma'amar of Yitzhak Huttner, the former Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Chaim Berlin, in his volume Pachad Yitzhak on Hanukkah, Ma'amar Dalid, where he talks about this entire concept of why specifically Yavan, what is unique about Yavan, what characteristics do they share with the Jewish people? And he elaborates it on at length. I don't have time to really talk about it right now within this recording, but he says that both of us, the Jewish people and Yavan, the Greeks, value Chochmah. We put Chochmah above everything. We put knowledge above everything. Their knowledge is very different than our knowledge. Their knowledge really boxes out God, and it's knowledge of the natural world, Ma'aseh Bereshit, and we value that. Of course, we differ from them in the fact that, you know, they deny the entire underpinnings of that system. But we do nevertheless recognize some sort of beauty within their world. And therefore, since they value Chochmah, and we view Yavan as a language of Chochmah, we allow Sfarim to be written in that language. And the Rambam comments over here that Halakha is like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, that all these Sefarim can only be written in Greek, but he says nowadays that the entire, he says in Mishneh Torah, he says nowadays that we don't even know what the real Yavan is, that original language of Yavan has been lost, the alphabet has been lost, as well as the actual language, it's not a spoken language anymore. Of course, all Sefarim that are going to be read publicly can only be written in Lashon Ashurit, only be written in their original Hebrew.